Yeah, we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking today with Cheryl Collins, Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis here this morning on In Focus. We're talking about outgrown, outdated, or obsolete objects that used to be common that are now uncommon. And this is fun. I love stuff like this because it's kind of interesting to stroll down memory lane and remember things you used to do. The kitchen's one place we've already talked about a little bit here. The microwave kind of changing how we operate in the kitchen, cooking our foods. You know, I still think food tastes better if you have the time to cook it in the oven versus the microwave, especially those frozen meals.
Maybe it's the anticipation. Do you think that's what makes it taste better?
Maybe. There's probably some truth to that.
You know, when I was growing up, Cheryl, you'll probably, you know, echo this as well. We didn't have slow cookers.
Oh, no. I remember that. In fact, I got a crock pot at my wedding in 1975, and that was kind of early in my thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, that is early. I was thinking that was a little bit more toward late 70s, early 80s. I when we had a pot roast, we had a particular pan for the pot roast that stayed
right
in the oven. For,
right, and it took a couple hours for it to cook.
And boy, was it good.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and all
well,
the
but people did
we
cook
have
at home. In my family, we rarely ate out when I was a kid.
Yeah. Percolators for coffee, percolators.
Right. Now people have those
Keurigs.
Little machines with the little plastic cups.
Hear that? They just go through the drive-thru somewhere.
Right.
But, you know, there's been a lot of advancements, obviously. Dishwashers were not a common thing.
No.
Even for a long time, you know, freezers, you know, you look at the appliances, you know, the large appliances. And now you got side-by-side refrigerators that can text or send a message to your grocery store what your needs are for your pickup.
Well, and freezers had to be defrosted every so often.
Oh, that's right.
And that was a kind of a all-afternoon project.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tried to hurry it up with a knife to pull off the frost, sometimes you made a big mistake poking those coils.
Speaking of food, are you going to have some artifacts from Nelson's Landing?
Well, that would be really nice. I was very sorry to hear that.
Oh, we all are.
I understand people's lives change and they want to do different things.
Well, you know, and I had a friend ask me if it was a COVID thing, and I don't believe that's the case. But, it's a different time, and, you know, they're, looking at probably being grandparents.
Right. That kind of changes your priorities.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wish all the Nelsons well, as they move on from that. But that's really been iconic, and we don't have too many of those, the local restaurants that are in small communities. You know, Calico Cafe.
Yes,
Calico
everyone misses the Calico Inn.
Yeah, that was in Raleigh for a number of years. And you know, you go outside, Bricks up at Oldsburg, and you know, there's a lot of those classic places that have moved on. I did some running around at Tuttle Creek yesterday. I had a buddy with me as we went and did some fishing. We were talking about the flood of 93 and then also last year's flood, and kind of looking around as you drove across the dam, you can see where the water line was because of the vegetation on the trees. And that is just an amazing perspective to put that into place. And obviously, you know, there's a tremendous amount of concern, and it didn't get near to the level as the issues that we had in 1993, because I think a lot of people learned things. You know, the Corps learned a lot of things from 1993 and were able to, you know, prevent a lot of things from happening around here. But, you know, what about, you know, last year's flood and, you know, the what you have there at the Historical Society with that result?
We collect materials, and we always welcome photographs or objects that relate to events like those. Last year was a close call. We came fairly close to opening the floodgates again. So it'll happen again. We have to be prepared. We've learned a lot, I think, during this virus episode on, we have list of preparedness we want to make next time, learning, having learned the hard way this time.
Yeah. I mean, have you allocated space for murder hornets over there at the museum yet?
For what?
The murder hornets.
Oh, those new bugs?
Yeah.
Maybe K-State Entomology and the insect zoo.
That's a good handoff there. That's a good handoff there. Well played.
Well, yeah, you know, getting back to the kitchen here, now this predates me a little bit, and that's glass milk bottles with paper lids delivered by a milkman. I've heard the stories, but that's something I never got to quite experience.
Well, growing up, we always had a milkman. And interestingly enough, the Wall Street Journal this last week had an article about a place in Connecticut that has gone back to milkmen during this virus episode.
Really?
I haven't seen that here, but I think it's interesting.
You know, and you talk about milk, you know, like Hildebrand's, the dairy here that's local up by Chapman, you know, and they have glass bottles.
Great milk.
Oh, isn't it? Have you had their chocolate milk?
Oh, yeah.
It's very good.
Oh, my. But, you know, that is kind of a throwback. And there are a lot of dairies that are starting to do that, especially now with, you know, the challenges that that the dairy industry is facing. You know, and the same with the beef industry. My goodness.
Right.
And swine, all the products here and, you know, in agriculture. That's a real, real challenge right now.
Yeah, and agriculture always has weather challenges, and then you have market challenges. So it's always a challenge.
What do you look forward to as a historian? You always want to find the silver lining. What do you see?
I think historians are better at looking back than forward. or even maybe in the present.
But okay, let me rephrase that. Lessons learned.
Lessons learned. Well, one of the things that's learned is you need to look at possible hazards and work on being prepared. I know Riley County Emergency Management has always advocated that. And we've tried to develop emergency plans. But when the actual emergency occurs, you find out there's holes. So one of the things we do hope to do going forward is to look at those holes and make sure that we're a little more prepared next time. And I know Riley County Emergency Management, I think on their website, has lots of lists of things people should have for their go bags and so on. And then in terms of change of American life, I think you're right. I think we will see some fundamental changes going forward. It'll be interesting to see what those are with all the working from home now. Maybe some of those techniques will translate into the future. Of course, changes in businesses. I think that is probably a given.
Do you have any masks that you saved for your
collection? We've collected masks. Marla Day, one of our Historical Society board members, sewed masks for all our staff, and those will definitely end up in our collection eventually after we're done using them.
It's going to be interesting times. It's some of the stuff is going to be hard, you know, to have physical stuff like Zoom, you know, the Zoom calls. I guess you could have computers from that era.
I did take a photograph of the governor making her address on the TV.
There you go.
So, and actually, it's possible some of those Zoom conferences may be recorded and archived. I'm not exactly sure what will be available, but it's possible because in this digital world, once it goes on the internet, it's never really gone.
Right.
Do you have a lot of that stored online for people to view?
We have some things stored. We have not got that translated into our website yet to very great extent. But we're hoping to be able to do that over time.
Cheryl, we have a phone call. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Paul, you're on with Cheryl Collins. Good morning.
Okay, this is not a test. I think you were just talking about dairies. And for my information, do you know how many dairies there were in Riley County at one point?
I do not. But there were quite a few dairies. And of course, a lot of farms would have some milk production that they would bring into the creamery. We had creameries throughout the county. There is some up at Riley and up in northern Riley County where they would bring in milk and cream and sell that, and then it would go into a system that went broader.
Well, the reason I ask, I worked for Friday, which was there at Kimball and 13 Highway, which is now Petal Creek Boulevard, 12 and 13. And I know there was quite a few then, and I know there was one that person's pretty famous for. It was Wells Dairy. It's out on West Anderson. Ron Wells' family had a dairy, and they even had caps for the milk that had Wells Guernsey Dairy on them. And that was quite a program. And I know that there was several dairies in the county. I don't think we have any now. I know that one of the Fry sons of Russ Fry has a dairy over around Alma someplace. And his grandfather was one I worked for, Lester Fry. So just a little bit of information for you.
Very interesting. So there were a number of dairies. That running a dairy is really hard work. It's all day, every day, 7 days a week.
I was just talking to a lady about that this morning. A dairy and a grocery store and a restaurant, you can't get away from.
Right.
Thanks for the call.
You have to be there all the time.
Paul, thanks for the call this morning. And, when I was growing up on the farm, we had our milk come from Taffy, our own milk cow. She was a brown Guernsey. And, working on, we did our own self-pasteurization there at the house. And honestly, that milk was horrible. My goodness, that was horrible.
But it was high cream content, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. But also, something that's making a comeback is the locker plants.
And there were usually lots of small locker plants through the county as well.
Yeah. And there are a few, but, you talk about creameries. Alma Creamery has made it a business, with all the cheese and everything, the homemade products that they have. But a lot of those, this used to be such an agriculturally based where everything was, farm-based, but now it's become more of an agricultural education community. And, there's been a lot of transitions here over the years in terms of agriculture.
Yes. And, of course, it's been a long time since we had an implement dealership right here in Riley County, too.
Oh, my. When was the last one? Is there even one in Riley County right now? I don't think there is.
I don't think so.
There's a couple over
at Wamego. I don't think there has been for quite a while. A
couple in Wamego. Yeah. I don't believe Gary County has one. Dickinson County has one. There's Bruna's up by Clay. Is that right? So there's a few. We need to take our final break.
Okay. We'll do that. We'll come back more with Cheryl Collins here from the Riley County Historical Museum when we return on K-Man.